I solved a big snack problem in our household in a very simple way. My children love eating berries, and so do I, for not just the taste, but the vitamins and nutrients, fiber, all the good stuff we want on a regular basis. The problem? We all know what it's like to pick up a berry we just bought, and it's already growing fuzz in the fridge. So I've switched to buying frozen berries. And a favorite I look for now is Washington Red Raspberries. Did you know 90% of frozen red raspberries in the United States are grown in Washington State and mostly grown on family farms who harvest them during peak ripeness and clean and freeze on location, sealing in all that freshness, taste, and great nutritional value. So now I use frozen raspberries in our yogurt or smoothies as a sweet treat. And I love that this means I can support local American farmers and have a healthy snack for my family that withstands the test of time. You can find Washington Red Raspberries at your local grocery store or Costco. And how do you know you're getting the good stuff? Well, you just take a peek at the packaging and look for product of the U.S., and then you'll know you're on the right path. Oh, and if you want some fun recipes and more information, go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. And you're going to find recipes, health tips, retail locations, everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. Overall, it's just a smarter choice.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello from the Heartland. My name is Jenna, and this is Smarter News. News when it matters and why it matters. Our Smarter series features unique people who help us think and live smarter. So let me just set the stage for where we are in the COVID-19 pandemic. A few weeks ago, we were all told that wearing a mask would not be helpful to keep us safe during this outbreak. In fact, it might help us infect ourselves because we would be touching our face, which is exactly what officials told us not to do. And now we're all being told that we should wear a mask anywhere we go outside our home. And if you can't wear a mask, grab a scarf or a bandana. And that's a remarkable turnaround. We're still learning so much about how the new coronavirus behaves. And now we're continuing to hear from officials it's three times as contagious as the flu. So this has certainly led many like myself to try to find a mask. And you can't easily find a mask right now. It's very difficult. Plus, I've never ever shopped for a mask before. And the entire pandemic has caused me to really think more deeply about who I'm buying from, where it's coming from, what I'm bringing in my house. And so we have an interesting solution to all of this today. Pete Roberts is joining us. He is the founder of Origin, a company in Maine, which we'll explain in just a moment. But Pete, what has this been like for you and your family? Not just your business, but just overall, this crazy few months that we've all experienced together.
Well, it has been a little bit wild. You know, Maine is the last to get anything. Trends, right? They usually flow through, you know, New England, New York City, and then up to Maine. So we get everything last, including the coronavirus. With that said, I'd say Mainers are a pretty resourceful bunch. We're used to really cold winters, and there's a lot of hunters and folks who have gardens. So I feel pretty prepared, but I don't think anybody could really prepare you for this. School shutting down, stores closing, you know, stay at home orders. It's definitely strange times. We've locked our kids down. They're not allowed to see their friends, which is kind of letting this thing play out. So I can tell you, my wife has made a couple extra trips to the grocery store. And I did find out recently that she has a little Corona cave in the basement, which I did not know about, because I went without a bar of soap for 3 days. And all of a sudden she's like, "Hey, Chloe, my daughter, go grab dad a bar of soap in the Corona cave." So she's got a little stockpile of stuff. So we've tried to have fun with it a little bit. We know it's very serious, but you know, we don't want to stress the kids out. We don't want to stress the people out around us, her parents. And so we're trying to have some fun with it, but we are taking it serious and, you know, listening to the guidelines that, you know, that are guidelines and trying to sort the guidelines from the propaganda. because there's some of that going on too.
I mean, it is. It is a crazy time, and you're absolutely right. We all have this swing of emotions on a regular basis, and I sort of feel like it's weather patterns changing every day. You know, I'm really stormy and afraid, and then suddenly the sunshine comes out, and I'm with my kids, and they're in the house, and it's just like this swinging of emotions. On top of all of this, though, you have built an incredible business in Maine, and I've actually been able to see it in person. And for those who haven't met you yet, I mean, Pete, you're a pretty big guy. You're a big manly dude. And yet you know your way around a sewing machine. So tell us a little bit about Origin, and then we'll get into what you're actually doing with all of this together.
Yeah, I mean, Origin is dirt to shirt, field to finish, fiber to fabric manufacturer. And for the past almost decade, we have been sourcing and manufacturing products right here in America on an American supply chain, like cotton grown in the South, shipped and woven and manufactured in our facilities, rivets in our jeans, rivets and thread made in America. So it's interesting because we have been exposed in this whole coronavirus thing. And this exposure is the topic we've been talking about for a long time. And when we say like reclamation, you know, this industrial reclamation and the knowledge is about to disappear, like this is what we've been trying to protect. So I know my way around a sewing machine because I have to. And I do enjoy it. We started in combat sports, making gis for Brazilian jiu-jitsu and compression apparel, and transitioned into making denim blue jeans and footwear right here. So that's the backstory.
And how big is the operation right now that you're running?
So we are a 70-person firm over three facilities, which is like the Bermuda Triangle up here in this last little town before nothingness in Maine. We have our apparel division, we have our footwear division, and we have a nutritional division. So the employees are split up between the three divisions.
And are you from that area, Pete? Are you from where you're now working? Is this the hometown for you?
I would call it my hometown. I've been here since I was eight. I'm from Massachusetts originally, from, you know, born in Gloucester, home of the perfect storm. But Maine is my home. It's where I actually grew up and cut my teeth and learned the ways of the Mainer.
So the ways of the Mainer has you now building this business that, as you mentioned, is sourcing and designing and pulling together all sorts of products that are made in America, from what you can have in your kitchen to the jeans that you can wear. Now we're in this time, though, where people need different things. And you're watching the news as is everybody else. We're seeing the shutdown happen. How did you embrace that as a company and turn what you're doing now into focusing on building and designing and making masks?
Well, it was a pivot that needed to happen, and we just at first weren't sure where we could be helpful, right? And it wasn't, you know, we can't make N95 masks. You know, I saw something that was like, hey, you can start making masks at home. The CDC recommends making masks at home. And I was just thinking, like, what do people have at home to be able to do this with that they can make a mask? And most people don't have a sewing machine. Most people don't know how to sew. And I was thinking, well, most people have a pair of scissors at home, and most people have a t-shirt or, you know, some type of filter in one of their systems in their house. So what we did is we decided that we could pivot, and we could take our compression textile at first, and we could manufacture a vessel to hold a filter. So we could make a mask that's a first layer defense. If someone wanted more filtration, they could take a pair of scissors, cut up an old t-shirt, cotton t-shirt or something else, insert it into the mask, and now they've got another secondary layer of protection. So that's one thing we did, and we pivoted super fast and super hardcore on it over the course of a weekend. And then 2 weekends later, we pivoted to making just a face covering. When the CDC said everybody should have a face covering, we're like, all right, well, we can make a face covering. Like, we're not making a lot of blue jeans right now, so let's take our cotton, stretch cotton denim, and let's make a face covering. So we pivoted again, and we started manufacturing that on Monday.
So lots of pivots and just trying to be creative and think outside the box and keep our workforce healthy along the way.
How did you even start the project, Pete? How did you even start designing the mask that now you've ended up at?
You know, my background is design, and I'm big on things that are utilitarian, but also offer a different level. I don't want to use the word protection, but a different level of opportunity for somebody. So our goal is, how can we make people's lives easier, help fight their fear, right? But also kind of provide something for the whole family, knowing that there was going to be a shortage on the mask. So, I mean, I just went literally a pencil, you know, a number two pencil and a piece of printer paper. And I just started drawing out ideas and working through how can we make these fast. We need to make a lot of them, you know, and what machines we could use. And I went through a bunch of iterations over the course of a day until we found something that we could just bang out, you know, and that I could take the team, retool in 35 or 45 minutes. We retooled, sat back down, did a quick orientation over 10 minutes, and we started making the product. I think it's just understanding, like, because I've been able to learn from these old timers, the knowledge that's really been lost in most parts of the United States. It's been exported over the past 25 years. I've been able to find these old timers who have taught me the old ways of how they used to make these products. And so I have this database of knowledge that I can just rip out at any time and apply to whatever we're trying to make. So I've been blessed and fortunate to be able to be around these folks to teach me that.
Talk to me about some of the challenges you've encountered, because your first prototype of masks, we were going to talk and do an interview a couple days ago, but you were right in the midst of even switching over your factory at the moment and even your design. And you ran into a little bit of an issue even just sourcing the fabric because of the coronavirus. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, when I first heard about this in China, I had one of my executive producer working on a film, a documentary actually. We've been all over Europe, and he was headed to Italy. He was in London. So he was going to go down, get on the train and go to Italy. And he stopped. And I called him and I was like, "Hey, Steve, I think you should come home. I don't like what's happening over there." And this is just before this thing broke in Italy, just before, like a day before. And then they like shut the borders down or whatever. And I had a meeting and I said, "Listen, this thing doesn't care about borders. It doesn't care who you are, you know, race, creed, culture, what you believe in, your ideology. It does not care. It's going to come to the United States." And at that point, we had locked down a huge amount of our supply chain, you know, fabric and on a nutritional side, like raw materials, raw ingredients. We just locked it down. Obviously not enough, because as we started building masks, we started ripping through material. And my knitter, like my fabric knitter that knits our compression material, they're 3 hours away. And they're shutting down for 2 weeks. And the folks that are weaving our denim right now, they're shutting down for weeks, and we can't get any more material for 8 or 10 weeks. So it's been a super challenge as the supply chain started shutting down. I mean, not even talking about trying to, like, people who import fabric or their textiles or garments, whatever, not even talking about them trying to do it. I know how challenging it is for us right now, because that supply chain has slowly just shut down along the way. So we're trying to stay creative with it, and we'll continue just doing it, you know, hands of daylight, trying to crank stuff out. So.
Well, and talk to us a little bit more about some of the knowledge that you said that you've learned, because we're hearing about different companies switching over to change their factory to, let's say, build a ventilator, or as you did, from jeans to face masks. But what does that actually take to do that? I mean, how challenging is that to do?
Well, definitely takes resolve. You've got to want to do it. You know, it's something that it's interesting. I find, like, when my back's against the wall and the only place to go is forward, like, you can't go back any further, right? I mean, we've got 70 people who all have families, who all, you know, half of them have kids. Like, the last thing I'm going to do as a business owner is send my people home unless I'm forced to, right? That's the last thing I'm going to do. So if I have all that, you know, let's say it's pressure. I mean, I I look at as opportunity. So I have all that opportunity to do something different. And honestly, you know, hopefully something that'll be remembered to pivot. Like, I'll spend 20 hours a day working on it until we figure it out. And the nice thing is I've got a great team around me to help keep me on track and keep me focused, making sure, you know, that we're going down the right path. So, yeah, it took a tremendous amount of resolve and, you know, some sleepless nights, but power of the American spirit, I guess we have the freedom to make those decisions,
right,
you know, and to be able to pivot. We're not being told to. A lot of companies like Origin, they're just doing it.
So tell us about the mask. How do they work? What do they cost? What is the sort of backlog that you're dealing with as consumers learn more about your story? And now that we all want masks, Pete.
Yeah, so we are going to continue making masks as long as we need to, until we don't need to make them anymore, or somebody comes along and they're able to pull up and make masks because that's what they do for, you know, for business. But we have right now, we've got 35,000 or 40,000 more we need to make. We've made 35 or 40,000, which is absolutely insane when I say those numbers. We are cranking out between 5,000 and 8,000 masks a day. There's two different styles. We have one mask, which we're about out of textile on, which is the defense mask, and that's the one you put a filter in. And then the face covering, we can make another 60,000 out of denim, and we're going to transition into another one of our textiles. We can make another 130,000 out of that, and then we're going to be out of material. But the defense mask is, I think it's $13, and then the denim face covering, I think, is 14, just over $14.
And people should know that the product is coming from inside the United States. It's made inside the United States. It's being shipped inside the United States. And by the way, it's washable, right, Pete? You can actually, you can reuse it, so you don't just throw it out when you're done with it.
Absolutely. Yep. Everything is washable and reusable. And, you know, and the goal is to just try to, I've bought into this idea of flattening the curve. So just try to flatten the curve and stay healthy until this thing passes.
So are you walking around with one on, Pete? How does it feel to walk around with a mask on?
Yeah, I actually use the denim mask. It's the Delta mask. For me, I mean, I've got a big face and a big head, and I'm always, and I appreciate you saying I'm a big guy. I'm definitely big boned. I eat a lot of whoopie pies, and I only stay in shape because I train jujitsu. But no, seriously, the denim mask for me is comfortable. We have this denim that we, for our Delta jeans, which is like, you know, it's like the most comfortable thing on your body, and it feels great on the face. So, and I can put it on and off real quick. I just slide it over my head and bring it down if I'm talking to somebody or interacting from 6 feet away, of
right,
course.
Right. I'll tell you, my husband went to the grocery store the other day. He's our designated family grocery store shopper over the last several weeks. So I'm actually a little jealous that your wife got out. I got to get out a little bit. But he did tell me, he said 95% of the people, now from last week to this week, 95% of the people in the store, he said, are wearing masks. And that's actually a relief because we don't have a huge outbreak in our area right now, but it's actually reassuring to me as a mom and someone who's trying to do my best with social distancing to know that people are taking it seriously. And if it's not that hard just to slide on a mask, if that's our new normal for a little bit, like, we got to look cute, Pete. So we're going to have to work on that. I know the denim mask is like good for like tough guys, but I'm kind of thinking of something kind of light and pink. If you kind of, if you're taking any ideas, I mean, a smarter mask might be something that we could collaborate on. Get it? Smarter?
We could a smarter mask. We could do that. But I will tell you something, you know, like with the Delta mask, the one I wear, you know, you do look like a ninja, a little bit like maybe Bane from Batman. Now, if you're reaching for the toilet paper and there's two other people reaching for the toilet paper, trust me, one glance, they're going to let you have it. So if you need the toilet paper, if you need the soup, you know, they're not messing with you. So there's a little intimidation factor too. And that, I think you're right. It is our new norm for a little bit.
It does. I mean, like we said, you have to laugh at some of this because it's just so unbelievable. We're even having this conversation. There would be no way to even anticipate it. I know some people say they have, but like, honestly, if you would have told me 6 months ago, this is the conversation we're having, I would not have believed you. Okay. Final question for you. I did notice on your website that you could, I could go on and I could buy a mask, but if I wanted to donate masks, I could do that too. Is that something you guys are doing?
Yeah, we are. We are donating a lot of masks. I think we're donating about $12,000 a week in masks right now. So we've been donating inside New England mostly. We've covered a lot of different healthcare systems, even though they're not N95. They're looking for that outer layer of defense, that first layer of defense. And we're continuing to donate lots of LEO, lots of EMS, just food service, everything. So we're definitely doing our part on the donation thing too. We're donating a lot of product.
All right. Well, I think that sounds great. I mean, it's always nice to be able to have the opportunity to help someone while you're also trying to store something for your family. So I really loved that part of the website. All right, Pete. Well, this has been really helpful. We're going to jump on the site, look at your masks. I'm going to continue to send you design ideas just in case. And maybe some of our listeners will as well. But it's good to know that this is working for your family and it could work for others. So thanks for taking the time to share your story with us, Pete.
Thanks, Jen. I really appreciate you having me on.
For more information on Origin, visit their website, originmaine.com. You'll see their incredible innovations from protein powder to blue jeans and now masks. As Pete said, from field to finish, made right here in the USA. It's truly smarter shopping. originmaine.com.
Quick, concise, nonpartisan, smarter news, a refuge from the storm. I'm Jenna. Thank you for choosing smarter.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.